Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 13th of January, recording at 9:07 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were mostly easier, particularly the China-related markets. I see the Hang Seng Index is down 2.5%, and it must have been about the same for the A-share Index. Now, in Europe, we had mixed action, but weak at the start, but most of the indices showing modest gains. Across the Americas, modest gains were the story, although Wall Street had been underwater for a while in the early trading. S&P is up just under 1%, NASDAQ up just over 1%. Elsewhere, long-dated government bonds gave up part of the good gains that they saw yesterday. That's bond prices. U.S. dollar is a little bit easier. Precious metals, gold and silver, were weak early on, but then picked up. And silver's near the high of the day, up 37. At 1862.5 as I speak. Gold bullion up nearly 10.5 to 1138.95. And in the grain and bean complex, which was clobbered yesterday, they started with weak downside follow through, but showed some steadying, retracing most of those declines, particularly soybeans, which actually closed up on the day. Crude oil lost another $1.12, taking it down to $79.67. I think that's pretty much it, although I see a good day on the UK sugar. Coffee also higher. So commodities generally higher. Well, there's so many exciting things going on here, aren't there? The industrial metals are stronger, particularly nickel, which had an upside key day reversal. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, the Fuller Money themes are still intact. There's still plenty of nervousness around. That's not a bad thing. In the sense of being a bit of a contrary indicator, it tells us that people aren't long and leveraged up to the eyeballs. But we could also add that there are plenty of reasons for all that uncertainty regarding stock markets, particularly during the second half of the year. And there are all sorts of things that could go wrong or bump in the night. And I don't need to run through them. You hear about them on an almost daily basis from other services. And we've provided our coverage as well. Now, the only thing I will make, at the risk of sounding slightly Pollyanna-ish, my words, not yours, for this, I add that with a twinkle in the eye because people sometimes feedback these comments to me. I will say that if you recall your stock market history, that particularly the crises that you've lived through, that investors are invariably terrified for at least the first year or two following a major meltdown. But if you look at what happened to the markets, that the major meltdown was usually followed by a significant medium to longer term recovery, albeit accompanied by some volatility in most instances. So that's the overall background. Could that repeat? Some will, of course, say very quickly that the problems in the OECD countries are just too great for that to happen. They may be right, may not. They may not be right, but they've certainly got an argument there. And I would only say that in terms of Fuller Money themes, I think the prospects are a whole lot better. And let's leave that debate there. For the moment. Now, China's weakness really occurred today because the authorities, monetary authorities, surprised the markets by increasing the reserve requirements that Chinese banks are supposed to hold. Now, we should be so lucky as to have monetary authorities in the West to do that. For instance, why didn't the Fed and the Bank of England do that back in 2007 when China was last tightening reserve requirements? Well, I don't think that this will be a devastating blow for the Chinese markets, but it did, as I say, surprise them. It was a negative surprise. I mean, here today, I think the Chinese authorities are mostly moving against property speculation. And let's face it, you don't get a world-beating growth performance, and that's what China is producing year after year after year. You don't get that without getting plenty of froth on the upswings. And China's authorities have shown their willingness and skill in recent years in terms of heading off potential bubbles. I mean, I'd love to see a stock market bubble in China. We'd give us plenty of additional gains, and then hopefully we'd have the wisdom to get out and stand aside. Right now, my bigger concern in China is not the monetary tightening, it's the supply that's coming in the form of new issues. I've mentioned that repeatedly. I would also say that the Chinese monetary authorities, they want to have those initial public offerings, and therefore they don't want to overreact on monetary policy and kill off the stock market. Okay, my long-term view on China remains extremely bullish, and I'll be surprised if we don't see further gains during this overall bull market phase. Elsewhere, let's look at the US dollar. You know, there was a lot of bullish talk about the US dollar only a week or so ago, and over the Christmas and New Year's period as well. But, you know, when I look around our charts and talk about these things every day, and there are a number of currencies against which the US dollar has fallen to new lows, in other words, taken out its November and December lows, and those are mainly the Asian markets, but we also see some significant retracements of gains against a number of other currencies, those are the gains that were achieved in December, and the dollar isn't extending those December gains against anything right now. My best guess is that it'll be ranging around, but I'm not a strong dollar advocate, and I think we would really have to upset equity investors to create a strong dollar environment. That will happen at some point, but I'm not forecasting that right now. Fortunately, the fuller money themes still seem on track. In other words, they are performing as expected and hoped. Looking at precious metals, it's a little unsettling to see the downward dynamics in gold and silver that we saw yesterday. Also platinum and palladium, but those are easier to anticipate because they'd run ahead so fast. But I would say that overall, taking gold and silver, which had seen the earlier corrections, I would say that overall, that a little bit of choppy volatility during a consolidation phase, which I think this is normal because people are a little bit more nervy. So you get a bit more volatility. I will be relaxed provided gold does not retest, let alone break below that 1,075 or thereabouts low that it saw, reaction low that it saw last month. And if stock markets remain generally steady, as I expect more often than not, although we're seeing a little bit of a consolidation in here, but you know, they would remain generally steady during a consolidation. And if the dollar remains neutral to soft, as I would also expect, then that's a favorable environment. And the fundamental long-term reasons for gold and silver going higher, as they are increasingly remonetized in the entire in the eyes, increasingly remonetized in the eyes of investors. Well, I think that story is well compelling. I'm talking in my book, of course. I've got significant long positions in those markets still, and I'm delighted that I have them and delighted with the performance. These agricultural commodities, I look at a number of the charts every day, and they're always interesting, but I don't feel the same degree of confidence in dealing with them as with others because they are so choppy. I mean, have a look at soybeans and corn, for instance, and the downward dynamics they saw from the higher side of their ranges were shocking. And that was on the announcement of the USDA's higher carry forward stocks. But that's the sort of thing that happens in those markets. I still think it's probably base building activity overall, but the bottom line is that we don't have that much food inflation going on today, at least not in the staple food prices, unless you regard sugar as a staple food. And it certainly winds up in being in just about every prepared food product that we get in the West, at any rate. But for the most part, there aren't that many other runaway upward trends. It's been sugar, cocoa, and coffee have been pretty much the big performers on the upside. Industrial metals. I mentioned that upside to key day reversal in nickel today. It looks like it's had an orderly consolidation within its big ranging pattern, and that's a good sign. I'll look for some upside follow through tomorrow. And I think that's pretty much it. Crude oil again. This is encouraging if you're one of those who, I know we shouldn't hope about what markets are going to do, but I don't want to see the world economy get trashed by another spike in oil prices. And it's good to see crude back under $80. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.